If you've ever used a computer translation program, you'll know what curious things machines can come up with as they try to cope with the complexities and ambiguities of the language we use. So, how are machines finding their way through the labyrinth of the Czech language? In this week's Czech Books, David Vaughn talks to Ondřej Bojar. He's from the Institute of Formal Applied Linguistics, and that's at Prague's Charles University.
When I first started enjoying poetry as a teenager, I remember finding inspiration in William Empson's classic, Seven Types of Ambiguity, which explores the wealth of meaning in poetic language. But while we humans might relish the suggestiveness of words, our more rational cousins, the machines, are rather less enthusiastic, and the problems are only magnified when it comes to translating between two such different languages as English and Czech. Ondřej Bojar is part of a team at Charles University trying to polish the science of computer translation into and out of the Czech language. He is the author of Czech and Machine Translation, a summary of the current state of the art of computational linguistics. And the moment you start talking to him, you are left with no doubt at all that Ondřej Bojar is a man who loves his subject.
Machine translation is an intriguing field, which personally I really like because it's touching the human brain and it's what people produce. But the results of a human brain are so tangible in linguistics and computational linguistics. You can work with texts, they are written down. So that's why I like this field of study, because I'm interested in how people think and what the mind does and how the mind processes words. Machine translation is one particular application of computational linguistics where you can show whether you have successfully explained to the computer what the meaning is. Machine translation is a quickly evolving field, and due to various reasons, some more obvious and some less obvious, English has been always the main focus of computational linguistics, and so it is with machine translation. So machine translation into English operates much better than machine translation into other languages, and Czech is a beautiful language because of its complexity, and the complexity is in some aspects very different from the complexity observed in English and other languages.
I'd be interested, because the complexity of Czech, I should imagine, could in some ways make things more difficult, in other ways make them more easy. More difficult in the sense that it is complex, but more easy in the sense that Czech is a very systematic language, isn't it? It's a grammar-built language where there are very strict rules.
You're definitely right that some things are easier and some things are harder. There's more people who work for English, and therefore the tools and the approaches are more evolved, better fit for the specifics of English. So if so much effort was devoted to Czech, then possibly English would appear more difficult these days.
And so what are these sort of specifics of Czech that make it difficult to find ways of doing reliable machine computer translations?
So it's in short, it's rich morphology. So for English, you have the word cat, and it has two morphological variations, the singular cat and the plural two cats. While for Czech, we have seven cases, four genders, three numbers, and not that each of the different combinations would have a different ending, but still we have many more variants of the word cat. And if you are building a machine translation system, and if the system doesn't have a specific component that would be capable of handling this morphology, the system has to learn independently all the morphological variations of the cat. So cat can be translated as kočka, kočko, and it's only the context in the sentence that tells the system which of the cases is appropriate. In the book, I have a couple of well-known examples where linguists found funny sentences that have more meanings, more interpretations than they have actually words. So the very famous sentence is "Ženu holí stroj," and I don't know if we should explain this to our...
I think it's worth explaining, because it's just three words, but it's a sentence that has what, five different meanings or even more?
The first word, genou, can be either a particular case of the word jena, a woman, or it can be the verb like pushing someone or something or chasing someone or something. Then holi is a highly ambiguous word because of the ending of I. That's a very ambiguous ending in Czech in general. And it can either be a particular case of the word stick, like a walking stick, or it can be the adjective hairless or bald. Then it can be also the verb of shaving. So that was the second word. And the third word in the sentence, stroj, is in its most common reading a machine, but it can also be an imperative, the verb to dress someone up, to put clothes on someone. And actually the endings allow for quite a number of readings for this sentence. So the very same sentence, ženu holí stroj, can either indicate that a woman is being shaved by a machine, that's the most prototypical reading, given the word order. Then another meaning could be, I'm chasing a machine with a stick. Another meaning is the imperative of the word stroj, like to dress up. So the meaning of the whole sentence is then dress up the woman with a stick. So use the stick to put the clothes on the woman. And a related but different is a meaning where the stick belongs to the woman in the same sense as we have the Czech translation of the Lord of the Rings. So there is a woman of sticks, and this is the woman that I should dress up. So that's the fourth meaning. And then there's one more meaning, which a colleague of mine found only after the book was printed, that it's the machine of the sticks that I should be chasing. So now I'm sure that all the listeners to the program are completely confused by all the combinations.
And all this, presumably, even for the most sophisticated computer, is just a bit too much, isn't it, at this stage in computer development?
Yeah. The problem is always the ambiguity and the context that disambiguates. And current systems operate at the level of sentences, and it's only slowly becoming the trend that researchers would focus on larger spans than individual sentences. And even within the sentences, the prevailing so-called phrase-based approach to MT actually translates separate phrases independently of the other phrases. So when the system is translating the beginning of the sentence, it doesn't consider the words that appear at the end and vice versa. So current machine translation systems can very easily produce sentences that seem fluent from the beginning till the end but never contain a verb, so they do not have any meaning for the reader. Or another typical problem of current prevailing MT systems is that the sentence is perfectly fluent, does contain a verb, that's a valid perfect sentence, except the negation is reversed because the language model was so strong, and instead of saying that someone is a robber, it preferred the reading that was more frequent in the training data and said is not a robber or whatever.
And so you talk about this training data. Is there some way of accumulating a huge corpus of sentences from real life, from real texts out in the real world, that can somehow make the computer more intelligent or more able to kind of think, oh, that's probably saying that, or this context makes me think that this is what this sentence is saying?
The data is essential. So I think almost the only proven approach to improve translation quality is to get more training data. More data is better data. That's it. So like,
and when you talk, I mean, you use this term, training data. What actually is that?
So the training data are texts that have been previously translated by humans. For example, the European Union is an excellent institution in this respect. We, as computational linguists, love it because the European institution had the goal, now it's reducing it to some extent, but it had the goal to have all its paperwork in all official languages. And also the fact that people don't like about the European Union, the fact that it regulates everything, is beneficial for us because the vocabulary in those texts is very wide. It describes all the aspects of citizens' lives, so it's good for us.
But it strikes me that you're still a very, very long way away from being able to get a machine that is going to translate reliably from, let's say, from English into Czech in a variety of different fields that we generally tend to read texts in.
If the domain is reasonably narrow, if it's a closed domain, then even current systems can reach near perfect quality.
You mean sort of specialist language in a very particular field?
I mean rather repetitive domain. So if something that worked already in the 70s was the system that translated weather forecasts from English to French or vice versa, and that was perfect because the domain was so restricted.
Czech is a language spoken by only 10 million people. It's surrounded by other languages. The need to translate into Czech and out of Czech is far greater than the number of people who are out there able to keep pace with the need to translate. And do you think that in a few years there really will be sophisticated enough systems, more or less reliably, maybe not at the level of poetry, but at the level of functioning language, to make it much easier to communicate in and out of Czech?
Well, you've mentioned the word reliably, and into English the systems have reached excellent fluency. But the better the fluency is, the higher the risk is that you will not notice a clear error in the meaning. So that's why I would actually be more and more cautious as the systems evolve.
So it's going to be a long time before air traffic controllers start using machine translation.
I hope they never will. Personally, I think that computers or robots will have no chance of understanding our language without actually walking with us in the streets and having similar problems as we have, like buying the food and preparing dinners. Only when the robots will start living with us, they can be trained to understand us in the real meaning of that word.
And is that just sci-fi, or could it happen?
I think it could happen.
Andrzej Bojar, thank you very much indeed, and best of luck with your future research.
Thanks a lot for inviting me to talk to you.
And finally, in case you're wondering why Andrzej says that there are four genders in Czech, normally you'd just expect feminine, masculine, and neuter, the reason is that there are two types of masculine nouns, animate and inanimate. Grammatically, they behave quite differently. Such are the joys of Czech.